listening to the AHDB podcast, farming news and stories from across the UK.
Hello everybody, I'm Will Jackson and I'm Strategy Director for Beef and Lamb at AHDB. I'm joined today by Liam Byrne, who's Head of Meat Marketing here at AHDB.
Morning Will.
And Duncan Wyatt, who is the Lead Analyst on the red meat side of things.
Good morning.
Morning. So what we're going to do today is we're just going to have a little chat in and around Brexit and mainly concentrating on no deal and what the implications could be for the beef and lamb sector. Obviously, we're in a huge period of uncertainty at the moment and have been for quite a while now. We had quite a lot of these conversations coming up for the end of March and what was potentially going to, the impact on the sector was going to be then. And here we are in October having the same conversations again. So what we really wanted to do was try and kind of add a bit of colour to that and bring it to life to help understand exactly what's happening from a market point of view, what's happening from a consumer point of view, and then look a little bit around what we're doing as AHDB to try and support the industry through that through this really difficult period. I guess probably the best place to start on this is looking at the markets and having a bit of a chat with Duncan here about where we stand and what the future is going to hold. So, I mean, when we're obviously a split sector here, so I look after both beef and lamb, so we're going to have a bit of talk about both of those. We at the moment, lamb is the real focus area that we're talking about because of the real potential risk from the export market drying up. Where we are at the moment is we export about a third of the lamb that's produced in the UK, and the vast majority of that goes into Europe. So I'll just start off by saying, Duncan, what are those numbers? So when we're talking about the lamb trade for a start, how does it work with the imports and exports to Europe?
Yeah, so in the UK, we produce just a little bit short of about 300,000 tonnes of lamb, and we export around 100,000 tonnes, and we import around 100,000 tonnes as well. So that makes, for the casual observer, that might say, oh, that market's imbalanced, but it's not really, because for two reasons. One is the products we import are legs and loins, and they're coming from New Zealand, and they're coming in the early part of the year. And the products we export tend to be whole carcasses. Well, we export a range of products, but you know, a really important part of that is whole carcasses, particularly to France. And so that does two things. One, it balances our production with our demand throughout the year, because obviously a lot of lamb is produced in the autumn time. And we eat a lot of lamb in the early part of the year, in the springtime around Easter and that kind of thing. But then it also balances the kind of products we're producing as well. So we get to export the whole carcass, but we're importing legs and loins, which is what the UK consumers particularly like.
Okay, so when we're looking at that, and you mentioned that there's a big percentage goes into France and carcasses that go into France. My reading of that is that if we saw a big disruption to that supply route, then it would leave us in quite a difficult position to be able to find other homes for those carcasses.
Yeah, so the EU is quite a protectionist organisation, and it has a kind of quite a high tariff wall around all meats, so beef, lamb and pork. So what that means is when we leave the EU, suddenly instead of our exporters being able to send product to the EU tariff-free, they will suddenly face that very same tariff wall. And in the case of lamb, I mean, it ranges again by cut, but you're probably talking 50% plus in terms of the tariff on the price of the goods going into the EU. On the other side, so we said, you know, we export around a third of our production, but we also import about the same amount. But that imported material comes from New Zealand, and they have tariff-free access to the EU at the moment, and they will continue to have tariff-free access to the UK. So the EU and the UK, one of the earliest things they agreed, in fact, was to split that New Zealand tariff equally. So we'll continue to have more than enough, New Zealand exporters will continue to have more than enough tariff-free access to the UK to send us to continue sending product to us. Whether they want to do that remains to be seen, but they can certainly do that. And that essentially causes the UK market to become imbalanced at that point. We've got tariffs on our exports, but the tariffs coming in will remain at zero.
So from a lamb point of view, it's been a fairly difficult situation. So if I understand that right, we're going to see the same flow of imports, especially when we're talking about the New Zealand end of things, and potentially disruption to what we're able to get across to our main market, which is Europe. And I think we've talked a little bit about tariffs there, but there are also the potential of almost physical barriers as well in terms of checks at ports and holding and taking more time to get product across, which could again put another barrier in terms of being able to export.
Yeah, so there's going to be a cost to doing trade as well. So, you know, all those logistical things, extra paperwork, maybe waiting time at the border. It might require, you know, more lorries to do the same kind of work. It's really, the tariffs are, you know, can't be ignored. And so what I think will happen is the market will adjust a little bit. So I don't think, I suspect New Zealand won't want to send quite as much to us because, you know, you would reasonably expect the price of lamb to go up in Europe and you might reasonably expect the price of lamb to go down in the UK a little bit. And so that switch might then mean that New Zealand exporters would prefer to send more lamb into Europe than they do at the moment, and they might prefer to send less lamb to the UK than they do at the moment as well. They send a lot of the cuts are similar, and so they can probably switch a little bit. And so we're anticipating a certain amount of readjustment in the marketplace. Whether it's enough to account for all of it, I don't know. And also whether the price rise in Europe is enough to help pay for some of the tariff remains to be seen as well. But the market will make some adjustments.
Absolutely. I think that's quite an interesting point as well in terms of the potential for, and I think the likelihood in the situation is that we will see a drop in farm gate price in the UK, and that will make things very, very challenging. I think that a potential opportunity about this, and when we come to talk about consumers later on, is the fact that by the same token, we could also see a drop in the retail price at the same time, which may or may not actually encourage more people into the category. And when we have a chat with Liam in a bit about where the domestic market is, I think we can probably pick up on that point a little bit. So we've talked quite a bit about lamb there. Where do we stand with beef with the same question?
So beef is a slightly different situation. So in the UK, we produce about 900,000 tonnes of beef, there or thereabouts, but we consume about 1.2 million tonnes. And so what that means is we're net importers of beef. And again, it's those kind of loin and higher price cuts that we're importing as well. So the tariff situation is, there are some similarities and some differences when it comes to beef. So tariffs, again, as I mentioned already, the EU is quite protectionist. So the external tariff, if you want to export product into the EU, you're looking at tariffs, depending on the cut, anything between 50% of the value of product and 150% of the value of product, really protectionist. And so what will happen is any product that we do export at the moment, and a lot of what we do export does go to the EU. So we export around, in Cogswell equivalent, we export around 150,000 tonnes of beef a year. And that's going to Ireland, for example. And so an important part of that goes to Ireland. And so that will face this tariff. So, and on the other side, what we intend to do is reduce our tariffs on imports. So we also have something called a tariff rate quota, which is going to be put in place. So at the moment, the UK imports around 380,000 tonnes of beef a year. And so there's going to be a tariff rate quota for the equivalent of around 230,000 tonnes. So once you take that in place and say, well, another 30,000 tonnes goes from Ireland to Northern Ireland, which won't be subject to a tariff, and there's another 30,000 tonnes, more or less, of tariff rate quotas that already exist that we're going to share with the EU. What it means is around 75,000 tonnes of beef that we import at the moment will be subject to the new tariff, and that new tariff is going to be around half of what the EU charges, broadly speaking. So the whole thing is designed to kind of maintain trade broadly as it is at the moment. The idea is that, you know, those long-standing trading relationships will broadly remain in place in the short to medium term. And so, but yeah, but ultimately, you know, the level of protection will go down. There's no question about that.
And that's really interesting. So when we're kind of contrasting the two parts of the sector at the moment, we're seeing where lamb is a very, very immediate impact in terms of the volume that we export at the moment and the risk to that. However, the impact to beef is likely to be a slightly longer term one, yeah, as the market adjusts to what a new normal looks like. And yeah, there's a potential then that you could have more product coming in from further afield than probably does at the moment and been able to access the market.
Yeah, so again, apart from the logistical difficulties and the cost of actually doing business with the EU, we don't think there'll be a huge change to beef trade overnight.
So we've talked a bit around volumes and around tariffs there. I think that we'll just have a quick bit of a chat with Liam now in terms of the consumer, the domestic market, and where we are, where we're looking at the moment. So just to bring Liam in, following on from that point, and we've talked about the fact that there is a bit of an imbalance of product, especially on the lamb side of things, or there potentially will be in a no-deal situation. How are we going to deal with that? How are we going to start to try and boost demand on the domestic market?
So Duncan mentioned about the imbalance of lamb. You're right, Will. Because of this likely imbalance, we're refocusing some of the budget and our activity towards bolstering lamb consumption in the UK. So we have a campaign that's been running since June. This coincides with having peak supply of British lamb on supermarket shelves. The campaign itself is called Lamb Hits You in the Chops. It's there to remind consumers of the fantastic, the unique flavour of lamb. And our objective is to get existing lamb eaters to eat lamb more often. It's the easiest door for us to push on. So this is all about increasing the volume of lamb sold.
And that kind of, that relates back to the fact that we've when we did some analysis earlier on in the year, that we felt that the lamb market was the most vulnerable one, and that's where the real focus needed to be. I mean, that sits alongside a lot of other marketing that we do at the moment in terms of always on work that we do across both beef and lamb, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. So we have we have a number of activities that we run in the background throughout the year, and largely across our social and digital platforms. We have consumer websites. We have over a million visitors to those websites every year, and we have over 65,000 subscribers to receive additional monthly information. So that's a great channel for us to be able to actively promote lamb and beef to consumers.
Absolutely. And when we're looking at consumers at the moment, we're obviously coming up for a very tricky period for everybody at the moment. Is there going to be fundamental change in the way people go about what they eat and what their preferences are?
It's a really interesting point, because we see that there broadly there are three key drivers. Outside, price is always important, and that's one of the always been traditionally a barrier to lamb purchase. But the three drivers largely around health, taste, and ease of cooking. So health is, you know, consumers looking more and more now for lean meats and low-fat meal options. Ease is very much around, do I know what to do with it? Is it something that I can cook quickly? And taste isn't just about the flavour that they're looking for, but also is it suitable for the whole family?
And you mentioned price there, Liam. From a lamb side of things, if we do see a reduction in the retail price of lamb, how important is that to consumers?
I think it's hugely important to consumers in that it gives us a gateway into, it breaks a barrier. So in theory, if the consumer behaviours don't change, then we should see more lamb going into shopping baskets. Price is intrinsically related to purchase. We see that time and time again. I think the difference, the reason that we have to, the things like the website, the recipe inspiration that we put out is so important, is that once they've got in their shopping basket, you still need to inspire people with what to do with it.
Okay, that's brilliant. And so we can see that there are some opportunities that may come out the far end of this. And talking about opportunities, and probably just bring Duncan back in just for a second here, we talked a bit about the domestic market then. When we're looking at other potential export markets, I know there's been a lot of work done recently in and around open export opportunities, and that we're currently in conversations with China about, and they've just recently lifted the ban on British beef, as well as beef access to Japan. There are other opportunities out there across the world to be able to export that may come over time.
Yeah, there are, and it really, it's a question of whether or not they'll come in time for us. If I can, so what am I trying to say? You know, China has obviously got ASF at the moment, a real protein shortage.
Yeah. So that's like African swine fever.
That's right, African swine fever, which has really, really taken a big toll on their pork production. And obviously, pork is the main, you know, one of the most important proteins that they consume over there. But if we look at their imports since that happened, or as it's still ongoing, in terms of their official import data, they're actually importing more beef than they are pork in terms of the change from last year. And so really a really important market potentially. And so it's great that you know, they've lifted the ban on British beef at this time, and it's really just a question of you know, doing everything we can and supporting the effort to open up individual plants so that they can start exporting beef, just as the Irish have just started doing, exporting beef to China, because that can be a really important outlet. I don't think the problems with ASF are going to go away anytime soon. So we're looking at lower pork production this year, probably even lower pork production in China next year. And so that could prove to be a really important outlet, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, as you say, it probably won't be the answer day one, but I think these are things that we've got to explore over time and make best use of as the situation develops over this next 6, 12, 24 months.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's really interesting from a market and a domestic consumption point of view. I guess the last thing that I just wanted to touch on was in and around what else is happening at HDB to try and support. And a lot of people who are listening to this will be asking themselves, right, okay, you've told us a lot of information at the moment, but what does that mean? What can we do to put ourselves in the best position to be able to weather whatever storm is coming? So we've kind of looked at it in AHDB in across three main areas. We've looked across two of the areas that we've talked about. So what's happening from an export point of view, and our team here have been working very, very hard on looking at those markets. We've looked from a domestic consumption point of view, and as I mentioned earlier on, we decided to move the bulk of the outward above the line marketing towards lamb this year. However, there is still a lot of beef work going on in the background. And the third section to that is in and around what we can do to support on farm. So our knowledge exchange teams are out and around the country at the moment, and hopefully you'll be having contact with them on an ongoing basis. However, if we do end up in a no-deal situation, we've arranged a lot of events that will start throughout the end of October through November into December to really help people start to get a bit more information, like we're doing in this podcast today, to try and help people understand how the market is working and then what they can do themselves to be able to make themselves as ready as they possibly can be for no-deal. And I think that the acceptance is there is a limited amount that can be done in the short term. But what we are trying to help people do is look, where can we help support to drive for efficiency and for improvement on farm to be able to put ourselves in the best and most robust place to be able to deal with what's coming down the road. So please look out for any invites on social media or that are dropping into your email or through the door that will be offering these events out and around the country over this next 2 or 3 months. I'd also just want to mention just quickly at the end that we've got the AHDB website on there is a Brexit hub, which gives a lot of the information that we've talked about today, plus lots of other things in terms of regulatory stuff, in terms of price movements, and we back that up with a lot of the reports that we will send out. So we've got Cattle and Sheep Weekly that goes out, and if you're not signed up for that, then if you go onto the website, then there's the ability to be able to sign up for that, and that will help give you a bit of an idea about where the markets are moving. So there's a lot of information available on the HDB website. There's also an email address on there, so if there's something that you want to know about that you can't find, then we'll come back to you with any answers. We're hoping to supplement this with webinars and other online events over this next 6 or 8 weeks to make sure that everybody's in the best place to be able to get all the information that they need. So with that, I'd just like to say thank you very much to Liam and to Duncan for coming along and sharing their expertise with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And that if you have got any questions, then please let us know, because we'll be more than happy to come back and help you. Thank you very much.